I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the Motormouth podcast with Harry Benjamin and Tim Sylvie. A brand new season, and we are straight in with racing driver and the Grand Tour test driver, Abby Eaton. Abby comes in for a chat ahead of her debut season in the W Series, the first all-female racing championship. So what a way to kickstart season two of the podcast. We hope you enjoy. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Just search for the Motormouth podcast on your favourite podcast platform, where you can also leave us a review and download the Motormouth app, where you can get live race times, exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy.
So here we are, the first of a brand new season of the Motormouth podcast. 2019 was our first year and we clocked up thousands of downloads from all over the world with 10 very different but equally interesting and fun guests. So we kick off 2020 in style with Abby Eaton. Those with an Abazim subscription will be very familiar with her from the Grand Tour, messing around with Clarkson, May and Hammond. Others will know her from her racing and now participation in the rapidly growing and globe-trotting W Series. Born in 1992 in East Riding, somewhere very far north where I've never been, to a racing driver father, Abby now resides in Leithy, Northamptonshire via karting, Saxmax touring cars, British GT, MX5 Cup, Super Cup, GT Cup, British GT, Blancpain, and obviously the Grand Tour. And now single-seaters as she prepares to take the W Series Championship by storm. Abby Eaton, you join the glorious growing list of Motormouth podcast alumni. Hello and welcome to our little, very warm part of London. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Cue the live studio audience. Settle down now, settle down. There we go.
So how's it feel to be the first guest of our new season?
Oh, it's exciting. I'm excited to be here. Yeah, just get your kind of bugs out of the way, mistakes out of the way.
Yeah. Harry, how have you been, my friend?
I've been all right, thank you. Yeah, new year, back for more. Got glasses. Should be wearing them now, actually, but I keep forgetting to wear them. But that's my big 2020.
Have you lost them?
No, they're too expensive to lose. Mm-hmm. Glasses are an absolute rip-off. Absolutely, it's a joke. It's actually a joke how much they can charge for those. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. A nice Christmas, New Year. We obviously saw each other at the Auto Sports Show not too long ago, which was good, and caught up with lots of our previous podcast guests, which was a joy. Saw the likes of Bobby Thompson,
yes,
Charlie
indeed.
Martin, of course, who we have an extremely exciting plan with, which we'll have to rope Abby into.
Yeah,
it's we can't say too much about it at the moment, apart from it involves a racetrack,
yeah,
some wheels, engines, lots of drivers.
Yeah.
I don't think I can say any more.
And us.
And us.
And us, obviously.
Yeah. All will be revealed. We'll tell you off air.
Okay.
The nervous look in your eye. Is that what is this?
Are the wheels and engine and everything all together or?
Ah, well, that's the joy.
Well, they start all together.
Well, what you do with it is up to you, but yeah.
So Abby, let's take it right back to the start. We always like to hear where our guests have come from, first and foremost. So you obviously grew up in the north of England. Tell us a little bit about early life and obviously how you got into motorsport way back when.
Yeah, so my dad's basically always raced things ever since he was like 16 years old. So he started on bikes, moved into carts and into cars and so on. So I was at a track when I was kind of 2 months old, basically. And, you know, the circuits around the UK is where I grew up. And, you know, grew up watching my dad race and, you know, thought he was an absolute hero for doing what he did. And after a couple of years of pestering, he eventually got me a go-kart when I was 10 years old. And yeah, 17 years on, here we are. So must have enjoyed it that first time. And actually, I remember the first time I had to go in it. It was at the Humberbridge car park. And it was a little coma cadet. And I was driving around the car park with a bike helmet on. Very safe,
safety
of
first,
course.
Dad. Well done.
But yeah, it didn't put me off. And I think I actually burnt the clutch out because I was just sat doing donuts in the go-kart. So.
What kind of racing was your dad doing at the time?
He was doing Eurocar back in the day. So it was, I think he was in the V8s back then. And he's probably not going to be happy for me saying it, but he actually ended up being one of the few that were able to roll the car into the lake at Mallory.
Superb work.
So I obviously got my driving talents from my mum, I think.
Was mum involved in motorsport?
Yeah, so she didn't compete, but she was basically my dad's kind of right-hand woman, if you like. So she kind of took the role of the corporate hospitality and that kind of stuff. So yeah, she was dragged to every single race meeting. And she reminds me of that quite often, that, you know, she's been put up with it with my dad, and now she's had to do 17 years with me. So, you know, she's very supportive and she loves it just as much as we do.
That's great. And obviously, jumping ahead a little bit, but you're now, it's out there that you're going to do the W Series this year, 2020. How did that all come about? And hugely exciting for you, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's no kind of secret that when it was first announced, I was kind of against the idea. And it wasn't that, you know, the money being spent on the females in motorsport was brilliant and, you know, I commended them for doing that, but it was the whole segregation thing that I was a bit worried about. You know, I've always raced against guys and girls and I've never had an issue with it. I've never needed special treatment and, you know, I would be against special treatment. You know, I remember winning some race and they came up to me with the ladies trophy and as well as, you know, the normal one. And I was like, keep the ladies trophy. Like, you know, I don't need that. But, you know, having watched the W Series for its first year and, you know, there's been no expense spared, the girls have had the best support, the best, physios, et cetera, et cetera. And they've performed really well on track. And, you know, now I kind of see that the end goal for it is to just get more women into motorsport.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's not, they're not saying this is a solution to have females motorsport and males motorsport. That's not what they're saying. But the way that they can support us and make it sustainable is by having a female championship.
Yeah.
And I've never done single seaters because it's just far too expensive.
Yeah.
And this is a new opportunity for me. I've got a lot of learning to do this year, but it's an opportunity that, you know, others won't get.
Yeah. Go on, Tim.
I was just going to say, I think when it came out, a bit like you, I was dead against it for exactly the same reasons, because I thought it was all about segregation and like, okay, we're going to create a race series because let's be honest, girls aren't good enough, that they can't compete against the boys, so let's create their own race series. But it's not about that at all. And the first time I really twigged that was when we spoke to Nikki Shields about it, and she said it's not about that, it's about participation. And the more people you can get into it, the bigger the pool, the more likely you are to have a superstar that comes out of it. It's not about not competing with the boys.
And also, so she said something very apt, which is actually it's great to have such a strong field of women racing currently, but also that is inspiring the really younger generation who are looking at it, because she said there's so many girls who maybe start out karting, but as they get older they get put off by it because there's just less and less girls participating. But if they're seeing this all female championship, then that's clearly
who are their heroes.
Who become heroes.
Well, yeah. I was at Brands for the W Series round there, and Jamie Chadwick was like a megastar.
Yeah.
And there were little kids in Jamie Chadwick overalls sitting on her tyres, you know, like little 4-year-old kids looking up to Jamie.
Yeah.
And in 10 years' time, it's going to be a completely different ballpark.
Yeah.
For anyone who might not be familiar with W Series, could you explain a bit about how it operates as a championship, the type of car, what the races entail?
Yeah, so basically the car is a current F3 car. It's the Asian spec Tartus chassis. It's about 270 brake horsepower, obviously a lot of aero, the slicks, wings, all that kind of stuff. And it operates, so we have one race each weekend. In the format, we'll have kind of a 40-minute practice session, half an hour quali, and then you get your half an hour race at the end. So, you know, it's not too long that people will kind of switch off after a while. It's quite short, exciting and punchy. And I think, you know, last year, especially when they did the reverse grid, I think that was quite exciting to watch as well. So I think it's kind of been a hit with fans. Most people are saying, can we have two races a weekend? You know, we want more. And they've done that by adding an extra two weekends to the calendar as well.
Yeah. And what's it's especially exciting time because they've expanded overseas and supporting Formula One races.
It's the
US and Mexico. That's going to be super cool to go to, isn't it? You're excited for that?
I am, and I'm excited it's at the end of the year and I've hopefully learned how to drive these things as well.
Yeah, that's probably quite a good tactical move from W Series,
isn't it? Thank you, W Series, cheers for that.
But what a platform to be on, not just, I suppose, obviously it's still being broadcast on Channel 4, am I correct to say? Yeah, so obviously you've got that platform there, but also to be in front of the F1 paddock and all their support series as well, that's going to be a massive platform for anybody just participating, surely.
And I think it's a really big win for W Series as well, because it just puts us out there to a new audience that perhaps, you know, aren't quite as open to it. And, you know, hopefully we'll put on some good racing, and like last year when it went down to the wire at the last round, we'll hopefully do the same again this year.
Yeah. No, then there's some top drivers in it. I think Emma Kimmelainen is going to be...
She's one to watch.
She is one to watch this year. You've obviously had limited single-seater running. What have you done so far to get ready for experiencing all this aero and this new experience for you?
Well, not a lot, to be quite honest, because I haven't got the money to go testing.
Project cars.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, with motorsport being quite seasonal, I haven't got that much work at the moment. Sorry, I got a cold this morning.
It's all right.
So I haven't got any work this month, which allows me to actually focus on the fitness side of things, because ultimately that's the only thing that I can actually do that and I've got control over. So it's a lot of fitness-based things, just so that when I'm trying to learn the car, I'm not tired while I'm doing it. And a lot of simulator work as well, which W Series have got their own sims, which is hugely helpful. And just trying to get on those as much as I can. And, you know, ultimately I'm going to be learning on the job, really.
Is there any pre-season testing or no?
I think that they're going to do maybe a few days, but they've not announced anything yet.
Okay, so what are your expectations for this year?
Well, I'd love to go out and win it my first year, of course. You know, who doesn't want to do that? But I think the reality is it's going to be extremely tough. And, you know, I kind of look back now and regret not doing that first year to have a learning year. They're just the same as everyone else did. But, you know, ultimately I've got to learn fast and get stuck in and not have any inhibitions, really. So I'm kind of hoping and aiming for a kind of top six finish. It will come. I'm not, you know, worried that the speed won't come, but it will just not happen at the start.
Yeah, no, and there's several rookies, aren't there? I think there's, I don't know, five or six new entrants. So I guess the proof will come against those guys in the early few races to see how you're sort of comparing against the people that are also coming into it late. Obviously, you're the first W Series driver we've had on the podcast, so naturally we're going to support you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, you've got it. You've won it. Easy.
Yeah, sweet.
It's in the bag.
Thanks. Yeah.
And actually, what a little, not an exclusive, it's not that thrilling, but we do have more W Series people coming on.
Yes, some very important people.
The boss.
The boss is coming on.
Catherine.
The big boss.
Crazy lady. She's awesome.
tell us more.
You will have so much fun with her. So I've, only met her a handful of times, but she is absolutely wicked. You know, she's so passionate about the sport and passionate about helping women in it as well. But she's balmy. We have quite a lot of laughs.
Oh, this is good. This is good.
I'll play that bit to her when we see her in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah. So what are the ultimate career goals? Do you have an eye on a particular series that you want to go in? What's the dream scenario that W Series could sort of catapult you to?
I'd love to do DTM or that kind of stuff.
Big fan of DTM.
I'm not particularly kind of towards a single-seater route. Because that's not really what I've been totally interested in. But I think being a good single-seater driver will put you in good stead for a lot of the cars that are, you know, DTM, for example. You know, people have described that as a single-seater with a body kit on. I think DTM or just a works driver for any championship, be it Blancpain or, you know, World Endurance, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the DTM is Harry's all-time favourite series, isn't it? Because you're in love with Paul DeResta.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Paul DeResta. They say never meet your heroes, and I kind of don't really want to meet him because I think they may be disappointed.
No, he's a good guy.
He a good guy? Yeah, fair. It's just that, he seems like he comes across well on TV now. Beforehand, he was maybe a bit boring. big fan of PDR.
That's him off the podcast.
Yeah. But the thing about DTM is, in recent series, it almost seems like it's because it's a touring car champion, and you've had experience, of course, in production touring cars. But DTM doesn't seem like it's a typical touring car champion, because at least in the last couple of years, the slightest bit of damage can really ruin your race, and it's almost like you're out. Whereas, you know, if you look at British touring cars, touring car is racing, a yeah, it's not really racing. You're supposed to be rubbing, you know, side by side. That's supposed to be what touring car is. So that's where maybe DTM, I don't know, it's kind of fallen off a little bit in the last couple of years, but I think I think they've tried to address that, I think, with the new body kits and things like that. But that'll be a fun series to do. Okay, well, shall we go back in time slightly?
Do it.
Yeah. Mazdas.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Well, you seem to have driven a lot of Mazdas.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, I did my first ever Mazda outing in one of the Mark 1s, so the old ones.
Wow.
And it was after I'd done production touring cars, and I'd won that, and basically I had a year out the next year, and you know, I just wanted to get stuck into something and have a go. And it was just a really cheap deal. Come down, drive this little Mark One at Croft and have some fun. And you know, I jumped in the car and I came third. So I was like, oh, sweet, this is quite
I'm
fun.
Right,
it's rear wheel drive again, because I'd gone from karting, obviously being rear wheel drive, to front wheel drive. And as soon as I jumped back in it, I was like, oh, this is where I need to be. So we ended up building a Mark Three and kind of raced it on and off for 2 or 3 years, and then ended up doing the Super Cup in 2014 and coming home with a championship win again. So yeah, it's got a good place in my heart.
What was your first car that you drove? Was
on the road?
Yeah.
It was...
Please say a Mazda.
Yeah, it's got to
be. No, it wasn't.
Oh, no, the fairy tale story.
It got rear wheel drive for a first car. Outrageous. No, I think my first car was a Renault Clio.
Oh, classic. Yeah.
But I think actually I drove my mum's car in a car park completely, obviously legally. I think it was a little Audi A3.
Oh,
that's a pretty good.
That is a nice little
first car. Little runabout. I had a Citroen AX.
A what?
You've never heard of Citroen AX?
AX.
Yeah.
Is that?
Had four gears, manual.
When was this? How old are you?
38. Actually, I'm 39 this week.
Oh, are you?
Thursday. Happy birthday, me.
Birthday.
Presents are welcome.
But basically 40.
Thank you. You're off the invite list.
There we go. I had a Ford Fiesta.
Yeah, that was fairly standard first car.
Yeah, it was like a Renault Clio.
Citroen AX was awesome, but it had really soft suspension. So going around corners, you felt like a boat. But it's only a little tiny thing, but it's a wicked little car. Okay, so we've covered all that. British GT followed. Obviously, a hugely competitive championship. Tell us a bit about your British GT exploits.
Yeah, so I did that in 2016, and it was quite nice, actually. The first kind of round, we had quite a lot of fans. We were a fan favourite because we had the Maserati GT, which was
nice.
The only one in the championship. And, good year, learning year. We ended up finishing second in Pro-Am and fourth overall, which was quite good considering most of the time that we were doing a pit stop, it went wrong.
Ah.
So it was obviously a learning year for us.
Why is that? Because you had a rubbish team, or?
It wasn't the best team. I'm not bothered anymore. Yeah, it was a crap team basically.
Yeah.
And we would bust our asses out on track and go for every last little tenth, and then we'd come in to do a pit stop, and it would be between 7 seconds and 2 minutes too long.
Ah.
So we finished fourth a lot, which
it's frustrating.
You know, yeah. But we did what we did, and ultimately you live and learn, and you know, to be a bit more selective in the future. But you know, the car was wicked. Car was a lot of fun. We were always quick on track, and no shunts or anything like that. So yeah, why not? Got a trophy at the end of it.
So what's your favorite type of racing? Are you big into Formula One?
Not particularly, no. I was when I was growing up, you know, watching it on the telly. And I think back when not that they don't have to drive the cars now, but I think there were less aids and it was more about the driver. And that's why I kind of like IndyCar more than F1. But yeah, with Formula One, if it's wet, I'll watch it. If it's not, I'll watch the first couple of laps and then the last couple of laps.
Yeah.
But I think I just recently had a go in Rallycross.
Yeah.
And that is just amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm well into rallycross.
Well, it's a good spectator sport as well, isn't it? It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, Formula One still pulls in the big audiences, but like you say, you tend to watch the first couple of laps, watch the end perhaps, wait for a crash in between, and that tends to be it, unless you're a bit of a hardcore enthusiast sitting down on a Sunday afternoon. But on the subject of Formula One, do you think, just harking back to the W Series, do you think this is genuinely going to be, whether it's in 1 year's time or 10 years time or 20 years time, a genuine route for female drivers, so that we hopefully in due course see a female racing driver in Formula One or a Formula One world champion who's a girl?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. And I think not just in F1, but I think in various, you know, forms of motorsport, there's going to be more females in it. And in turn, all we need to do and all W Series is doing is increasing the pool of female drivers. So, you know, for every one Lewis Hamilton, there might be another 10 Lewis Hamiltons, but, you know, the other 9 might not have the budget or the connections or whatever. So ultimately, if you increase the amount of females in it, one or two of them are going to be good enough and are going to have the money and are going to have the luck to be able to make it. And, you know, I think it will happen, you know, in the next 10 years or so. I think probably the girl is currently karting now, and yeah, you know, that's going to be the one. And, you know, we've had obviously Susie Wolf in a position, you know, nearly, you know, succeeded with being a driver in F1. Obviously, we've got Jamie Chadwick, we've got Tatiana Calderon, but I think it's got to be from a young age. I think this girl needs to be in F1, a bit like Max Verstappen, you know, yeah, straight in. But ultimately, and I think that's, I speak for all the females, we don't want to be put there just because we're a female.
Yeah.
Obviously, it works and it's a very good position to be in, but we want to be there on talent as well.
So, okay, here's a question for you. Do you think any of the current crop of W Series drivers, from what you've seen so far, could cut it in Formula One in the next couple of years?
I do, but also if you take age into it, I think probably the ones that are able to cut it at the moment are probably past what manufacturers would look at to have a long career with them. So yes and no.
Yeah, no,
I'm not
with
saying
you.
Who either.
Well, no,
I don't
no,
give
no.
them a
no.
ego.
You don't know.
You don't want to make enemies before you start.
Yeah.
No. Going through your career, there's, as with many racing drivers, you have ups and downs, times when you're not racing. There are periods of that in your career. What's been your sort of most uncertain point, and how do you get through something like that sort of mentally?
There's been many, many, many of them, so I can't really pick one. But I think, you know, there's been many times where I've almost given up and I've sat down with my dad and had the conversation of, I don't know if I want to do this anymore, because, you know, it isn't just a hobby and it's a lifestyle and you commit all your life to it. And, you know, I've had several relationships not, you know, succeed because, you know, it's like, well, when are you going to grow up? You know, when are you going to get a proper job? Or, you know, you can't, if you're so committed with this, you're going to end up alone, you know, and all this. And it's like, well, you obviously don't get the dream as much as I do.
No.
And as much as I want to try and forget about it and switch off, I can't, because it's all I've known and it's all I've ever wanted to do. And I don't want to end up, you know, being 60 years old, being bitter that I didn't give it my all. So
you
always slowly come back to it. And it's the same, weirdly, as my dad. So he stopped when I started racing, and then someone built a car about 5 years ago and said, Dad, Paul, will you just come and have a go, just drive it? And then that's just lit the buggy, you know, lit the fire again, and now he's racing again.
Hey, so what's he racing in now?
He's got an old Holden Commodore from the 80s. So, yeah, an old Australian touring car from 83. So it's the Bathurst livery from Peter Brock
that
he's put on it. So it's a proper weapon. It's fast and heavy.
So how are you funding your racing then? So, you know, I think everyone, all the drivers or people with motorsport that we've had on so far, none of them, I don't think, have come from overly privileged backgrounds.
No.
They've all had to sort of strive,
graft,
hustle, find sponsorship themselves.
And that is the whole other side of the job, isn't it? There's one thing of training to race, and then the other side of the job is trying to get there in the first place, which loads of people just don't seem to get half the time.
Well, Cannon was doing Palmer Sports whenever he could, just to make an extra buck to try and fund his next, you know, flight or whatever it was. You know, so how have you funded it over the years?
Well, when I first started, it was a family-run thing. So, I'm not from a multi-million-pound family or anything like that. So it would be, you know, me and my dad in the van, and just turn up, rock up, go karting, sleep in the back of the van on, you know, air beds, that kind of thing. And, you know, you have to work hard to bring in anything that you can. And I was lucky that I've had a guy support me throughout pretty much all of my racing, and he used to support my dad. And again, he's not got loads of money, but, you know, he'll give us, you know, a couple of grand here just to help with things, or, you know, he'll buy the van so that we've got transport to and from the track. And I owe a lot to him for being able to do that. And he was the main supporter when I did British GT as well. But ultimately, to be able to get the proper commercial partners that you need, it's just a lot of hard graft and, you know, putting together proposals and doing it, you know, specifically for a company that really reaches to them, and it's a lot of hours. And this is, again, what people don't understand is I never stop working. So I'll always be sending emails out, or I'll always be on the laptop, and you just got to do it and just keep at it. And I think the problem is there's always people going, you know, well, you'll sponsor me for this. Well, what do I get out of it?
Yeah.
Well, you get your name on the car, and that's no return on investment whatsoever. But I think people, and the word sponsorship puts people off.
Yeah,
and, you know, I will never go to a company and ask them for money if I didn't think that they will make money back from it. And the thing with W Series, which is slightly difficult, obviously the W Series is completely funded. Yeah. So that's a massive weight lifted. But ultimately, I need to be testing right now in single seaters. And that's like, for one day's testing an F3 car, it's probably between $6,000 to $8,000. And so I would just even like three days in a car just to get some, you know, feedback as to what it's going to be like. But it's just hard to get that money in. And, yeah, and that's what I want to try and get the money in for.
And are you allowed with W Series to bring in your own sponsors to have space on the car? I appreciate that, you know, logo on the car isn't the be on and end all, and there's all the other, you know, peripheral stuff that goes with that. But I don't remember seeing many or any logos outside of W Series on the cars last year. What's the crack with that?
Yeah, so there's no sponsorship allowed to go on the cars or the overalls. And last year they were allowed two logos on a helmet.
Yeah.
But that's up for discussion this year as to if that's going to be allowed or not. And, you know, what I am trying to do is just almost offer like an ambassador route more than anything. Yeah. And to be quite honest, that's where you get return on investment. You know, having a sticker on a car, you might have a few people search it or whatever, but ultimately you need interaction.
Thing,
it's
an ego thing for a CEO.
Yeah, just say, oh, that looks cool. You know, it's like betting on a horse, that kind of stuff. You know, I earn that horse, that's mine, and look how fast it is. Yeah. But it's the interaction with the company, and, you know, doing trade shows with them and hosting dinner speeches and team building exercises. So an example in March is I'm running kind of like a cert box derby type race for a company that are basically just doing a team building day for the employees. And it's just that stuff that's better. And, you know, it makes them proud of sponsoring me and being part of my journey, and I'm proud to be associated with them as well. And it's a working relationship that you've got together.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the it's a trade-off, isn't it? You know, okay, you can't necessarily get brands that want that TV awareness with logos and whatnot, W Series, but I guess the trade-off is if you do well, you get a big chunk of cash.
Yeah, yeah.
Which can take your racing forward to the next level. I think last year the prize money was like $500,000 or something for first place. Yeah.
There's money awarded to everybody, isn't it? All the way down the field. So no matter what, you always get
finish
something
last.
Back.
Yeah.
You should do it.
Finish last. What is the last place prize money?
Oh. $7,500.
See, that's right.
And that's what, one day's testing in an F3 car.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple at a stretch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not bad, is it? I mean, you could do a lot with $7,500.
Be great for the podcast.
That would actually just pay for, well, what would it be? It would be like $5,000 basically in pounds.
£5,000.
That would pay for my personal training costs for the year.
Sorted.
PT costs.
Yeah.
Just got to lay out $5,000 first.
And if as long as you're not completely rubbish, you'll probably get at least $10,000.
I know.
Happy days.
Happy days.
I just hope I don't break my leg or anything.
Oh, this God, well, no, touch
that's
words,
a good
so
point.
Yeah. It's really wood in here.
Touch your head.
It's all concrete in here.
That's definitely wood, I think.
So looking at it, it's such a weird room, this.
I'm just going to go and touch some wood.
We're in a new room today.
There's a plant behind you. That's not wood, is it? That's fake wood.
There we go.
There we go. We found it's a lovely plant. Bit of feng shui for the room.
Superstitious.
So in motorsport, the lows are quite low, but the highs can be quite high as well. So talk through some of the highs of your career. I'm just looking at some of the stats now. If we go to 2017 Blancpain, racing the GT3 Ferrari, finished first in your first race ever. That must have been a pretty epic feeling.
Yeah, it was. That weekend is quite stressful to start off with, because I'd never raced a GT3 car before. I'd never driven anything quite as fast. I'd never driven Monza before, and I'd never, you know, obviously raced in I think there was 52 cars on the grid. So there was a bit of pressure on myself to perform, you know, straight away and try and bring the car back in one piece as well. But we managed to do it, and, you know, it was a great opportunity to get stuck in and have a go. And yeah, we ended up winning the class, which is a massive positive and something I'm quite proud of.
And first female to win the class as well. Well, yeah. That's a pretty big accolade. Good,
Tick to have on, nice to have on the CV, but didn't get me any race in the year after, so useless.
So who are you racing with?
That what in the Blancpain?
Yeah,
it was a Lebanese guy, Alex Demersian, and an Italian guy, Davide Rizzo.
Yeah.
So basically, to get the drive, I actually had to have a shootout with two of the females, and it was up against Christina Nielsen and a girl. Angelique Detavernier. So we went to Monza and basically there was a the car there, the Ferrari there, and it was just go out and try and be the quickest.
Yeah.
And obviously Christina had raced the cars for a couple of years beforehand, so I thought, wow, I've got my work cut out here. And she ended up doing most of the testing for the 2 days, and this other girl got sent home, so I was just kind of stood there waiting to have a go, and it didn't come, and I'm like, put me back in the car, please. You know, I've got more to prove. And then at 5 p.m. on the last day, they were like, right, okay, go and have a go. It's your time now, you know, with old tyres on. So I was livid. I was so pumped up and angry. I was like, I'm either going to crash this thing or I'm going to be fast. So I went out and, yeah, ended up being faster than Christina. And then they were like, oh, shit, well, you know, we better put some brand new rubber on it and see what she can do with some new rubber. Did that, went out, almost cook her again. So that's how I earned myself the drive.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Obviously, things are changing in the car world, not only in racing, but on the road as well. We're all moving across to electric and hybrid vehicles. Boring.
Don't do it down.
No, I shouldn't do it down, because I've been chatting on Twitter with the guys from the Regen podcast, and I must stop slagging off Formula E.
Yeah,
it's not good. I'm warming to it. I mean, I know you watched the race, didn't you? I watched practice.
I watched that. Yes, at Santiago.
Yeah. I'm trying. Okay.
Have you been to a race live?
No. Now, right. So we had Sam from Seeing Through Glass, the YouTube channel, on just before Christmas, and he said the problem with Formula E is on TV it's rubbish.
Mm.
Sorry, not rubbish. Some people like it. Personally, not a massive fan on TV. But he said if you go to a race, it will change your opinion.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to go and watch it. And you can get a lot closer because it's a street circuit. And the cars are sliding around. Like, there's no grip on them. Yeah. So you can see the drivers actually
working.
They
really work. And they do have a noise as well, contrary to belief.
It's like this.
Exactly. Although that's the best impression we've ever done.
Yeah.
But the one thing that will get you is that if they're in, you know, coming out of their boxes in the pit lane, you won't hear a thing until it's too late.
Yeah.
Silent
killer.
Literally, they literally are. But I think the coverage these days is a lot better. It is. Like, hark back to race one, or season one. Dreadful.
Are you just saying that because our friend helps present it?
No, I'm saying that because I want to present it. The thing with Formula E is, right, it may not always look as fast or whatever, or what people might be used to as mainstream motorsport, but it is entertaining.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you'll have just the grid lineup just for the race just gone. You had all the people who are the top five in the championship at the back of the field because that's the way qualifying works. But set your morals to a side. That makes it way more interesting. And they don't depend so much on aerodynamics. So they can cut through the field.
Yeah.
And it's more tactical because you've got to think about your battery saving and, you know, they've got to do this whole charge up when they get attack mode, things like that. And
there's lots more variables to it.
There's lots more variables.
And a lot more things that can shake things
exactly.
up.
Exactly. And I think if you shake off your disparities about Formula E, I think you'll enjoy it a lot.
Two against one.
Indeed.
Hey, well, you sound like a fan.
Welcome to the Formula E podcast with Abby and Harry.
from racing the Jag Ipes in Saudi Arabia.
Of course, yes.
You know, I was in the Jaguar kind of team, if you like.
Yeah.
And when you've got someone to support and you get invested into it, it is really good. And again, I love V8s and I love the sound of a proper engine and so on, but especially when you're actually driving or racing an electric car, you forget. To start off with, you're a bit like, it's a bit strange, you know. All I can hear is I can hear braking and I can hear tires, but when you're actually battling with someone, you forget that it's silent.
How is the I-Pace drive and that whole series? Because actually that's not within that Formula E world. That's not something I'm that familiar with. I saw it when it was launched, things like that. But what's the racing like? Because I know they have VIP drivers every race, but they also have recurrent drivers as well. What's it like to take part in as a championship?
Really well organised. You know, the cars have had a lot of work from the last year. So what I was told how they handled last year is a lot better this year. And again, you've kind of got the boost attack mode as well, so you kind of have to use your tactics as to when to do it. the drivers that are in it are very good as well. You know, you've got the Brazilian and Simon Evans and so on that have done it for a few years now. Obviously, Alice Powell's doing it this year with the German team. So, yeah, I ended up doing Saudi Arabia as a guest driver and kind of jumped in and got on with it all right and was pretty quick. But yeah, I'd like to go and do more. But it's just if they want me back.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Jack.
Working on it.
Did Saudi impress you?
Well, there's a lot of money out there. Like the stage that they had for the festival, I think it was the second biggest stage in the world.
The Diriyah Festival.
Huge stage. No, this was at Formula E.
Yeah, they had a whole period of big events. Yeah. They had Formula E, they had the boxing, they had concerts, all in that area.
And the motor show as well, didn't they?
Yeah, the motor show, which all the YouTubers were at, looking at these crazy supercars being bid for. Mm. But I've been to Saudi a few times now, and I'm really warming to the place. Mm. And I know it's a controversial thing to say, because everyone's like, well, Saudi rubbish, you know, human rights, but you don't see any of that at all.
No.
And the locals are really nice. Everyone's dead friendly. The hotels are nice. Mm. Apparently they're bringing booze in.
Oh, really?
Which is a game changer.
That is a game changer.
I think they're very aware that when they host big kind of worldwide events, you know, they've got to put a show on and they've got to be on their, not best behaviour, but they've got to show themselves in a good light. Yeah. And for example, obviously women out there, until last year, foreign visitors, female visitors had to wear an abaya.
Yeah.
And it was now changed that you didn't have to, just to try and make it more kind of friendly for foreigners to arrive. And, you know, we were given the whole cultural brief and so on. And, you know, we were given an abaya to wear and got there. And, you know, no one really cared. And, you know, you'd wear it out of obviously consideration and respect for the culture. But actually, they were just like, crack on, do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so many people were coming up to me as a female driver and Alice and, you know, just wanted to know more and ask questions. So I think it is changing quite quickly.
Yeah, it definitely is. Even from the first time I went there, not long, less maybe a year ago to now, even in that space of time, it feels like a slightly different place.
Mm.
But no, that's very cool. Okay, so so Jaguar, someone's looking for a drive.
Yeah, hint, hint. Let's talk Grand Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
So obviously that was that started. How many years ago now when they hit that off? Was it a few years ago now. Clarkson, Hammond, May, brand new sort of setup, post Top Gear. How did your people who don't know, what do you do? What did you do and how did it come about?
So I'm effectively the driver for the Grand Tour. So I did the job of what Stig did back in the day on Top Gear. So whatever car they were reviewing, I would take it around the track and set a lap time as fast as I could. And it kind of came about in the second season. So they had the American, they called him, in season one, which was Mike Skinner. And then season two, they just wanted to do something a little bit different. I think maybe the feedback was that they didn't particularly warm to him, the British public. So I got headhunted, if you like. I got an email through and it was basically, you know, we want you to come down, drive some cars, just see what you like with the team, how you get on with cameras and so on. So I went down to the track and there was like five or six cars set there and it was like, right, there's a lap time set in each of them, go on, crack on and see if you can kind of at least get near to it or be faster if you can. And I didn't have any racing at the time. So again, a bit of a situation like with the Ferrari. I was like, well, I'm just going to crack on and see what I can do. And ended up kind of being super quick in all the cars and got asked to go down for another morning and, yeah, driving, I think it was a Porsche 911 and another kind of faster car. Same process again, on camera, you know, doing some chat to the camera and so on. And then was invited down to London to the HQ and Andy Willman just basically said, look, this is what we want you to do. Because the whole time I was doing this, they didn't say what it was for. It was all kept as a secret. But I'm like, I'm doing lap times around the track. Like, I kind of know what it's for. But and he basically said, look, this is what we want to do. Do you want the job? And I was like,
go on then.
Yeah, if I must.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of how it all happened.
It must have done wonders for your profile.
Yeah, definitely kind of social media and that kind of stuff went through the roof. And you know, without that opportunity, actually, I wouldn't have been able to do the Rallycross and have the guest drives in the Alpine Cup and you know, the other opportunities that I've had.
And of course, the big question is, what are Clarkson, Hammond and May like in real life and to work with?
They're good fun. Yeah. You know, really professional with what they do. They've obviously done it a long time now, so they know how to just get in, get on with it, and get out. And yeah, all very funny guys. You know, James Mir is very, very funny, and yeah, I think probably on the show he's not allowed to be quite as witty as he is. But yeah, Jeremy is what you see is what you get.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same, and same with Richard, really.
Yeah, I saw them once. Did you see? I put them on Instagram the other day on my personal one. Of me out on the lash with them.
Oh, London. Yes.
Because I went to the launch of Drive Tribe, which must have been 4 years, 5 years ago, something like that, I don't know. And they were all there doing their media bit, and we stayed and ended up getting plastered, and they were obviously on it as well.
Of course.
But they were exactly like you see on TV.
Yeah.
It was just what you want, isn't it?
Yeah. At least they're genuine. Yeah. I'm a big fan. But I only watched my first episode of the Grand Tour about 2 weeks ago. The boat season?
Okay, yeah, the brand new one. Yeah, yeah.
Because I've only just got Amazon, so I missed out on the whole thing.
Well, you can binge watch them now.
Yeah, I will.
Don't watch season one, just two and three.
Well, you're not on it.
So just two and three, that's
exactly.
All you need.
Yeah. Right, should we do a competition?
The game, you mean?
Yeah.
Competition. You win a seat here. So we have a game called Motormouth. Now, it has proved quite a difficult game with some. So, we had a whole leaderboard last year. So, I have got 4 audio clips for you.
Can I just say, I think you've been very generous this week.
I have been very generous.
Good.
If you're not top of the leaderboard after this.
Because, well, I mean, it's a new leaderboard.
I was going to say, I should be.
So, last season, Adam Christodoulou
smashed it.
Yeah.
And he basically guessed correctly where each clip was taken from. Mm. So, that's what you have to do. I'm going to play you a clip, and you've got to guess what's happening, who's saying it, and just any other context you can give.
Okay.
For this season, I'm awarding 1 point for each. So it's out of 4.
Yeah.
And I've been quite kind, I think.
Yeah,
is it racing related?
So it's all racing related. Okay. In fact, this one is...
I don't really watch racing.
It's you related.
This one is you related.
Oh, right.
So where are we on here? So let's get rid of this. Thank you. Music stopped. So let's play the first clip. So it's you.
Mm.
What are you talking about here?
He is quite decisive on track. He's not scared of going sideways. Okay. And yeah, he just attacks. So,
yeah. So I'm talking about Jeremy Clarkson. And the question was, who's the best driver out of all of them? And I think I had to explain what each of them were like. And it was in a tattoo parlor in London.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Because there's a slight bzzz in the background.
Because they've got tats in it.
Oh, yeah.
You are badass.
Yes.
What is that?
Never
What's
say that,
that like?
Again.
It's just... I don't really know, flowers and mandalas and stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I've got a tattoo. Did you know that?
I feel like I did, but I forgot.
Everyone's What's always surprised on? When I say I've got a tattoo.
What is
well,
it?
It was at the time, I'm a bit older than both of you, so it was at a time when everyone got tribal tattoos.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
So I was like 19, 20.
Right.
I was living in America.
What? Oh, so much I don't know about you.
Honestly, I've got lots of weirdness.
Yeah.
And I had a horrible hangover and then went to get this... tattoo on my back.
Ooh,
of
on it, a hangover.
And my blood was all thin because I was hungover and it was bleeding like mad, and half of it bled out into my t-shirt afterwards because it was in Florida and I was hot and sweaty, so it's like a sort of half-baked tattoo.
Nice.
But it was meant to be a tribal thing, but it looks like a cross between the Batman symbol and a lady's hair clip.
Excellent.
Right.
It's really bad. And it's not small. So
Wet on your back?
Between my shoulders.
At least you don't have to look at it.
Yeah, I can't look at it every day.
So there's my tattoo story.
Horrific. Excellent.
How many have you got?
6.
It's quite a lot.
Wow.
Cool.
Any plans for any more?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Well, carry on with the game. Anyway. So, number 2.
Yeah.
I've raced against a few dicks in my time, but never on one.
What were we saying for that?
So that was the snow race in Sweden.
Yes.
And I was referring to the penis-shaped track that I was driving on.
Indeed. Lovely aerial shot of that
as
well.
It was good. They didn't actually tell me that I was going to drive on that until I got there. And they were like, yeah, that's the track. I'm like, that looks like a pair of balls.
Yes, it does.
It's a dick, yeah.
I love that, though. That whole scene, I watched that on YouTube, the whole thing, when Clarkson goes, and we're just going around the bell end.
Yeah.
And the best bit, we turned this on. The parabolic. I was just like, oh,
it was so funny. We had such a laugh filming that for the week. It was mega.
All right, let's move on. Now, this is where it gets a little bit harder for you.
Okay.
So this is now, we're moving to Formula One. Now, I know you're not that keen, but let's see if we can get a little bit out of this. Here we go.
Jens, my friend, I'm sure you wanted to hear my voice before starting the race. Just wishing you the best of luck. We follow you here on television. You did amazing yesterday. So, yeah, please.
Oh, have fun, thank you.
My friend, and take care of my car.
Okay, I'm going to pee in your seat.
Okay, so that was Alonso speaking to Lando.
Was it
Lando?
Oh.
No? I can't remember. Who's even there?
Brit before him.
Sounds like Benson.
Jensen Button?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, that shows how much I watch F1.
But to be fair, you said you like IndyCar, and that was kind of IndyCar related.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But that's no point.
No, that's fine. You don't have to give me a participation.
I was going to give you half point.
We're doing half points?
Well, I said it was Alonso.
You got Alonso.
Okay, yeah. Half point, 2.5.
Because I thought, because you said you're an IndyCar fan, and that was when he was in the Indy 500, and then that clash with the Monaco Grand Prix. Mm. So Button did the Monaco Grand Prix.
Just as an aside,
yes.
IndyCar.
He really sounds like Lando.
It does a little bit. Yeah. IndyCar is awesome. Mm. I'm a massive IndyCar fan, and I can watch an entire Indy 500 from lap one to the last lap, no problem at all.
Yeah.
Really
proper
enjoy
pit
it.
Stops.
Yeah. Proper pit stops. Chaos in the pit stops. Like absolute bedlam. Have you seen the pit stops?
Yeah, it's madness.
I mean, there's no control, no safety. Yeah. It's absolute.
And the coverage on UK TV now is so much better than it ever used to be. I think. Like they've really invested and improved it as well.
I had a slight vested interest. I used to manage Max Chilton, who's done a few seasons of IndyCar now. I'm not sure he's doing the ovals anymore. I think a few drivers starting to get rid of the oval tracks.
Yeah.
But he had some mad stories from IndyCar about how challenging it is, and you know, when you're being drifted along by all these other cars in the middle of a pack and you just can't slow down.
You can't do anything.
No, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
But big fan of IndyCar.
Next number one. Four, final one.
Steering wheel, collapse the steering wheel here. Steering wheel. Hey, steering wheel. Somebody tell him to give it to me. Come on.
I love that one.
Okay, so that was Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah.
In a pit stop, or just about to go out. And
yeah,
that's
it. That's it.
And I love Kimi.
Ah, oh, big fan.
That's brilliant. One of his finest moments.
It's kind of like. If you get some people that don't really give back to the fans, then that winds me up. But actually, Kimi is just who he is.
Yeah.
And he's so quick on track. And I just expect it from him all the time. And when he says something really nice, I'm like, oh, boring.
I know being Kimi is he is giving back to the fans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What was that thing he was in where one of the commentators was after him. They eventually found him and he just missed Pele or something on the podium. And he was like, where were you, Kimi? He said, on live TV. He said, I'm sorry, I was taking a shit.
Amazing.
Oh dear. Well, you've done a solid job, to be fair.
That's pretty good.
3.5 points, which puts you top of the leaderboards.
Yay!
So that is to beat. That's all to play for. So you've kicked us off on the new.
What should we do? I think Catherine Bond Muir might struggle with this.
No, she likes F1. She's mad into F1.
We should make it hard for her.
Yeah, we should.
Ask her something. Yeah.
Obscure.
Yeah.
Tester. It's a good score though.
Ask her what my dog's called.
There's no point asking what your dog's called because then
she'll listen to it. She'll listen to this and get the tips.
I wonder if she will. Hello, Catherine.
Yeah. Hi, Catherine.
Looking forward to having you.
Well, thank you so much for playing Motor Mouths.
Yeah, you did.
So we just have sort of a few more sort of quick fire questions to throw at you. You've got one lined up.
Yeah, well, before we go on to the final four,
indeed,
not three, I'm curious, now that you're mid-20s, let's say,
I think
that's being fair, how would you, obviously, you know, being a female in motorsport is challenging. It's more challenging, I think, being a female in motorsport than it is being a boy in motorsport. I think that's probably fair to say. If you could go back in time and talk to your, 11-year-old self, or perhaps a little bit older when you're just starting to really make inroads, what would you say to yourself that you would do differently if you could do it all over again?
Nothing.
Really?
I do it all the same. I've always tried to be articulate with people. I've always liked to have a chat with people, be honest with people. I'm not trying to be someone that I'm not. I'm very authentic. It's who I am. I've always on track tried to be, assertive and fast. And the only thing really that I could say to maybe try and work harder at is just trying to get money in. But
yeah.
Physically can't do any more than I already do, so
that's out of your control in a way,
isn't it? Exactly. But yeah, maybe I guess the one thing I could say is do debut series in the first year.
Yeah.
And
well, that's nice. I mean, it's good that you don't have any, like, you know, I should have done this drastically differently. You know, you've lived your best life.
No regrets. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. I've just always given it my all, so I could never
think
that I, you know, need to try harder.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that you don't watch F1 that religiously, but you watch IndyCar. Is that your, do you watch that, are you religiously in that watching every
to be quite honest
is there a series
really
that
watch,
there is that you
watch,
like,
watch
a religious
a lot of motorsport,
fan
no. No, I like, I really enjoy watching like World Rallycross and stuff like that, because it is, it's action packed. You can sit and watch through the heats, you know, in 10 minutes and go and do other things. But yeah, I don't particularly watch that many forms of motorsport unless I'm rooting for someone. So like touring cars, yeah, religiously I'll sit down on a Sunday and waste my day watching the telly watching that. But I know quite a lot of the drivers in different championships. Yeah. So yeah, I guess touring cars I watch.
Okay, nice.
Who's your hero, racing or otherwise?
So probably going to sound really cringy and cliche, but growing up watching my dad, he was always my hero. I guess if you're asking for, you know, in the motorsport world, who would it be? I grew up watching Chewie in F1. So for me, Chewie, and obviously he just dominated it. He's basically doing, you know, what Lewis has done this last few years. But Jenson Button and how he conducts himself off track and on track, I think he is someone that I aspire to be like. You know, you get some drivers that are super quick on track, but they're just a little bit too arrogant off track for my liking, whereas Jensen, I feel, has got a good balance.
He knew how to work the sponsors as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you read his book?
No. Worth a read? No?
Take it or leave it.
Damon Hill's book, very good read.
Yeah. What about Perry's, McCarthy?
Oh, he gave me a signed copy.
You one? Yeah.
He signed it for me. Thanks, Perry. And I haven't read it yet.
Okay. Oh. Well, I said on Facebook earlier on in the week, someone had put about his book, and I was like, Perry, I probably should buy one of these and read it. And he's like, what, you mean I'm not giving you a signed copy? And I was like, no. He's like, give me your address, I'll send you one, hun.
Yeah, I got one. What's it called?
Didn't he say there was an audiobook version as well?
Oh, well, that's more up my alley.
Yeah.
What, does he read it?
I don't know.
Of course he would read it. He wouldn't get anyone else to read that book.
I feel like maybe I've made that up. I feel like he said something about audiobook.
No, I think maybe he was coming to it.
Or that it was in the works,
perhaps. Yeah. Yes. Is it called The Unluckiest Driver in the World?
Something like that.
Yeah.
He is the unluckiest driver in the world. Yeah, bless him. Yeah.
When you're an F1 team,
big shout out, Perry.
It's not great, is it? What are you rubbish at?
Not eating chocolate. Like, basically, a cup of tea should always be accompanied by a biscuit, just heads up for the next guest.
Because you're from up north.
So you've got to have a biscuit with a brew.
Biscuits, actually. Yeah.
And what tea bag was it?
English breakfast.
Yeah, but what variety?
Did you not like it?
What would you?
No, it was sufficient.
Right. Oh, I was given what I was. I was working with what I was given.
What else would you have?
Yorkshire. Oh, okay. No, it was, that wasn't on the cards.
We have Yorkshire tea at home.
I have Yorkshire tea at home as well.
Decaf.
Only ever decaf.
Chloe's pregnant, so she has to. Okay. Otherwise, we'd go normal. Full fat.
Are you not supposed to have caffeine when you're pregnant?
Don't think so.
I think it's not. Well, I mean, I don't know.
Friend pun?
Not supposed to.
Yeah.
Not like alcohol, where you definitely don't have. Should not have it.
No. Well, you can have the odd one.
Yeah.
Your glass of prosecco here or there. I can have loads.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're rubbish at not eating chocolate.
Yeah.
And you like cups of tea. Favorite chocolate bar?
Probably Lindt.
Oh,
expensive
no,
taste.
No, I take it back. I take it all back. Terry's chocolate orange.
I'm with you 100% on that.
I made some cookies the other day with Terry's chocolate orange in it, and it was hands down the best thing I've ever done.
Something about chocolate orange.
Yeah.
Weird.
So good.
Galaxy. Two against one again. Yeah. What's going on?
Two against one. Mate.
It's Galaxy for me. Smooth.
That's a classic though. Like Terry's chocolate orange, not everyone goes for it.
I do like Lindt.
Disclaimer, if people gave me any chocolate bar, I would take it off their hands.
Double decker, always a winner.
Yeah, if someone gave me a picnic or a topic bar, I would throw it back in their face.
Yeah, me too.
I'll put it in the cupboard until really tough times.
That would be a last resort thing, what's in the back of the cupboard. Fair. Any pets?
The dog.
Okay, of course, dog. Yes, the dog that we're not talking about. What kind of dog is it?
It's a miniature schnauzer, a little black mini schnauzer.
How old?
2.
Oh, so very young.
But she's actually my mum's. So I wanted a dog. I love dogs so much. But because I travel a lot with work, it's unfair to have the dog.
Yeah.
So I bought my mum a puppy 2 years ago for Christmas, and basically I go home a lot more now just to see the dog.
Not your mum?
No, no. Like I go straight in and mum's like, I see what this is, going to the dog again. And I steal her a lot of the time, you know, for a week when I haven't got any work, I'll steal her for a week.
I really want to know what the name of the dog is.
Oh, we can know. We'll just bleep it out.
Okay, go on.
Go on.
Okay. I'm
always a fan of a human name.
Let's bleep that out. Yeah. But that's our leading name for our next child.
Is it?
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Oh. Well, she's really well behaved. She does cool tricks.
Oh, perfect.
She's beautiful.
What kind of tricks?
Sit. Paw. She's really quite needy. So like if she was sat here now, she'd just be sat with a paw on me.
Oh.
Yeah, cute.
I've got a dog called Charlie, who's a black lab, and he's a very sensitive type. Mm. So much so that he will do paw, but if you touch his paw or get anywhere near his claw or his nails, he will scream so loudly. All you have to do is gently brush it. If you gently brush it, he'll just sort of take it back immediately because he said, don't you dare touch my
Is he ticklish?
Paws. Well, I don't think he's ticklish. He's just very sensitive and he's a bit of a diva about his paws. Mm. And it's just because he can't, it gets so long, the claws. So you have to walk him on
like father,
pavement.
Like son? Is that right?
Yes, I suppose so. Yeah.
Do dogs scream?
Well, sort of.
I need to see a video of this.
Like a,
Yelp?
Yeah, like a Yelp. Like a.
Want to do it? Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
That was actually not bad.
Thank you. Diva dog.
I got one. Do you have any hidden talents that the public don't know about?
I can do this.
Yeah.
With both eyebrows. Now, that actually is a talent.
Yeah. You could do the chocolate. What's that?
Galaxy, was it?
No.
The Cadbury's
eyebrow.
I can.
So for those who can't see, because it's a podcast, Abby is raising both her eyebrows.
My friend,
but not at the same time.
Not at the same time. Yeah, so that makes sense.
My friend Finch can do that. He released a video when that came out. That advert, people were putting things on YouTube about during the dance, and he did it, and it went viral.
I can only do one.
Yeah, I can only do one. Anything else, or is that it? That's your best talent.
That's it. Yeah,
it's good talent.
I don't think you need anything else. Esports. Do you know much about that?
Off topic. It's off topic. We're talking about racing.
From eyebrows to esport, I was trying to find a link, but there really isn't one. Eyebrows begins with the E, as does esports.
Well done.
What do you think of it? Valid form of racing? Because more of these days, F1's heavily investing into their esports. Formula E does it as well. Lots of racing champions. You know, Jan Marderbrook.
He's literally come
from playing PlayStation. He was one of the early guys to do it.
Yeah.
From PlayStation into real racing. Mm. How do you see it?
I think it's a good way to obviously get into the sport. Mm. It's a cheaper way to get into it. So I'm kind of all for it from that. But there's also another part of me that, you know, I slaved away, and my parents slaved away when I was a kid to work hard and put the hard work in, you know, get the results and, you know, to be able to do what I do. So there's a lot of pain and money and effort put in to actually do it when you're younger and physically do it rather than sit at a computer screen. But yeah, I'm all for it. Whatever. If it gets more people racing and it gets more people interested in it, then
all for it.
All game.
Bro.
Is it that time?
I think it is time to.
Shall I start?
Go on.
Final four. Mm-hmm. Quick fire ones. You don't have to have a monologue. It's just, you know, as long or short as you want it to be. Cool. First one, what's got you excited at the moment? I think I probably know the answer.
W Series.
Yeah.
After you
are. If not racing, what would you be doing?
Probably a doctor or something.
Really?
Yeah, because when I picked my A-levels, I picked to go to medical school because I thought if I can't afford to... if I don't get the opportunities to race, I want to be able to afford to race myself. And I did my AS levels and did them well, but I had no life whatsoever. And then I thought, nah, this isn't for me. So then I changed my A levels to still pretty solid, like biology and psychology and stuff like that. But changed it to that.
What kind of doctor did you have? Did you think that far ahead?
No, to be quite honest, I think like A&E, it would have to be something adrenaline and challenging and thinking on the go, kind of stuff.
That's exciting. Mm. Your turn.
How much of your success would you put down to luck and right place, right time? And how much do you think is down to pure hard work?
I would like a lot more luck. obviously, you know, having the Grand Tour, that was a nice lucky break. And I'm very, you know, humbled to be given the opportunity. But a lot of it is a lot of hard work. You know, those that know me and that have grown up around me and that, you know, have to put up with me a lot of the time, you know, they often say to me, I don't know how you still do it and how you're still motivated to do it. And I don't know how either, or, you know, why I still put the hard work in. But, you know, I just think if you're hardworking, you really give it your all, then eventually, you know, you will get the breaks and, you know, nice things happen to nice people. So
yeah, I'm a big believer in that. Yeah. And I think it's one thing that's been the same for all the people we've met during the podcast is that they've all been brilliant at bouncing back. Because there's so many knockbacks in motorsport, you know, people telling you you're not quick enough or you've had an off day and, you know, you've got to get back in the car. You've had a big shunt and you've got to go and do it all over again.
Mm. And in life, it is all about how you bounce back, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's how you come back from hardship.
Yeah.
Makes you a better person. Mm. What are you scared of? We'll end with that.
Failure, which I think is probably, you know, quite normal for an athlete.
Yeah.
I'm very, very hard on myself and I always want myself to deliver. And, you know, it's good that I am like that because I've forced myself to, you know, jump into a car for the first time and deliver. But I think sometimes I just need to give myself time to just chill out. But yeah, I just think that's part of it. And with the W Series, you know, cracking on and trying to do as best as I can, that's all I want to do. And if I'm unable to do that because I haven't given it 100%, then... yeah, that would not sit well with me. So, failure.
Lovely. Good answer. Good answer. Yeah, really good.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
very
much.
Kicking off season two of the Motormouth podcast.
And best of luck for this year. We'll be rooting for you 100%. And we'll probably, I think...
We'll put in a good word with the boss next week.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. It's just Brands, isn't it, in the UK this year?
Yeah, Brands Hatch in August.
So we'll be there,
I expect. 100%.
And if anyone wants to give us an invite to America or Mexico...
We'll be there.
Fine. Happy to plod along.
Yeah.
But all the best. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for talking to us.
No worries.
And we'll see you in a paddock soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. And thanks so much to Abby for giving up her time for us. We'll be back with another episode next week with Catherine Bond-Muir, Abby's soon-to-be boss. So make sure you keep an ear out. In the meantime, if you've missed any of the first season, you can take a hop back in your chosen podcast player and find them all there. And don't forget, there's also loads more content on MMTV and the new Motormouth app available to download on any device right now. Now, like, subscribe and review the podcast if you feel so inclined. It really helps people to find us. And you can follow us on social media as well. On Twitter, we're at Motormouth_. On Instagram, at Motormouth_official. And on Facebook, just search Motormouth. In the meantime, from myself and Tim, we'll catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.